Well, there's near universal agreement that Iran and the US have judged that war would be so costly they've both stepped back from almost a week on the brink. Fears were fuelled after US President Donald Trump ordered the assassination of the second most powerful man in Iran, General Qasem Soleimani, while he was visiting Iraq last week. Iran's promised retaliation came yesterday with missiles fired at two bases in Iraq, but without casualties. President Trump says Iran is standing down, and apart from additional sanctions, he has not announced a further response. Here, the National Security Committee of Cabinet has discussed the situation, and afterwards the Prime Minister spoke.
The situation overnight has stabilised. That's a very relative term in the Middle East. And the cessation of those immediate hostilities that we saw yesterday and the nature of the statement also issued by the President today, as well as the intelligence that we have, means that we are in a position to continue to undertake the mission that we have set for ourselves in the Middle East. And we remain committed to that, as do our other partners.
Well, while those efforts proceed, it may be that General Soleimani has achieved in death one of Iran's greatest strategic goals, the removal of the US from Iraq. Professor Abbas Milani is the director of the Iran Studies Program at Stanford University and a research fellow at the Hoover Institution. I asked him if the hostilities are over for now.
I don't think it's over, but I think both sides have decided to take a de-escalatory step. I think both sides know that a full war will be disaster for them. The United States knows that it will be disaster for its allies. Khamenei knows it will be a disaster for Iran. So I think both have decided to now, at least, take a step on a de-escalation spiral rather than a spiral towards war.
The U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has said that after the killing of Qasem Soleimani, Americans are much safer in the region. Are they? Is anyone?
I don't think so. I mean, the fact that the U.S. has announced that they're withdrawing all their non-absolutely essential citizens from Iraq, the fact that England has even announced that many of the citizens should not travel to Iraq or Iran does not, to me, indicate that they're safer. The fact that the U.S. military bases are on high alert doesn't seem to me to indicate that they're safer. I think Mr. Pompeo's announcement was more rhetorical rather than based on reality.
So what might we see in reality now? Because Iran, of course, is known for its sponsorship of proxy forces. It's got very strong cyber capabilities. Is this now going to move into those sorts of spaces?
I think so. I think Iran doesn't want, as I said, a full confrontation with the U.S., but it can't be seen to be completely giving in. So they orchestrated what to me seems to be a way for Iran to declare victory. They essentially hit a couple of empty bases. They apparently gave advance notice for the U.S. to empty those bases. But they in Iran announced that they have killed 80 Americans. So the narrative of what has actually happened in this invasion is very different between what the U.S. says and what the Iranians say. I tend to think that the Iranian story is essentially for home consumption, because Khamenei essentially boxed himself into a corner by saying that we're going to retaliate, we're going to retaliate immediately, and we're going to retaliate with the Iranian military openly. We're not going to use proxies. And in a sense, Trump had also boxed himself with his rhetoric. Both decided to walk out of that box, fortunately.
Does it surprise you, particularly in the case of President Trump, that they've gone in this direction, given how volatile President Trump can be?
It did surprise me. I was pleasantly surprised that he decided to accept the escalation and decided to walk away from two different threats he made. The first threat that he made, which was to go after 52 sites, including cultural sites, And when it was made clear to him that that's against international law, that's a war crime, he walked back and said, yes, I now realize it's war crime, I won't do it. And secondly, when he said, if there's any reaction, we're going to have fire and fury, he decided to accept this as a gesture that can be considered, as he said, as a standing down.
The Trump administration seems to want similar things from Iran that previous US governments have wanted: no nuclear weapons, wind back support for terrorist groups like Hezbollah. But its approach has been vastly different, this maximum pressure strategy. Has it worked?
I don't think so. I think the maximum pressure, the only way it has worked, but it hasn't had the results that they had anticipated, was that the maximum pressure has put pressure on the Iranian economy. But their assumption was that if we put maximum pressure on the Iranian economy, then the Iranian people will be so angered and so frustrated that they will rise up against the regime. They have brought maximum pressure, but when they went after Qasem Soleimani, even that strategy failed. 40 days before Soleimani's death, as I think you remember, there were massive demonstrations in Iran against the regime. There were demonstrations in almost 100 cities. The regime had to kill upward of 1,000 people, arrest upward of 10,000 people to bring it down, to quiet the situation down. They called it the most serious challenge to the regime. The regime itself called it. One officer said this was the closest to the Third World War for us. With killing Soleimani, the U.S. essentially changed the narrative. People this time, 45 days later, instead of coming out in the streets against Khamenei, instead of coming out in the streets shouting as they did, death to Khamenei, came out supporting Mr. Soleimani. So in that sense, maximum pressure even failed where it had succeeded in the economic domain, putting pressure on the regime.
There were big protests too in Iraq recently, still ongoing, about the poor economy, about corruption, but also against Iran's influence there. But now, as you mentioned, Iraq is pressuring the US to pull its troops out. There's also the security dimension. The protests are also now as anti-US as they are anti-Iran. Has President Trump lost Iraq?
I think by all indications, the US has lost Iraq. But even more interestingly, in losing Iraq, I think they might have given it back to Iran. Because as you indicated in your question, Iraqi demonstrations in the weeks before the killing of Soleimani were essentially focused on Iran, were essentially focused on the heavy-handed behavior of Iran in Iraq, particularly Mr. Soleimani. Shiites' highest spiritual leader in Iraq, an Iranian-born Ayatollah Sistani, issued several statements that were clearly intended to serve notice to Iran and, by implication, to Soleimani, to stay out of Iranian Iraqi politics. With the death of Soleimani, all of that changed. The demonstrations are now against the U.S. The demand in the parliament, a non-binding resolution, albeit a non-binding resolution approved by only the Shiites, but nevertheless a non-binding resolution of Iraqi parliament, is for the U.S. to get out of Iraq, not Iran. And to get the U.S. out of Iraq was one of Soleimani's main goals. It has been one of Iran's most important strategic goals in that country.
Well, it's certainly not the end of the story, is it? By a long shot.
I don't think so. I think it's the beginning.
Professor Milani, thank you very much for your time today.
It's my pleasure, as always.
Professor Abbas Milani from Stanford University.